We continue on Tuesday. We'll try to get through most of these. Tuesday, I'll try to give you more. We have the. I found it. And we'll try to get more Marmokombos Tuesday. But you should already start thinking about the general relationship between Shuas Eidus and Shuas Pikadon. As I mentioned, the Mishnai, just go through the Mishnayas, and then the Gemara about Dunminov, Ukibiatra. But I'll give you the three or four test cases, you know, to highlight the issue. Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so let's pick up where we went off, where we left off. I think the list, by the way, was incomplete, right?
Yeah, I'm going to send out another one now.
Oh, should we send another one, or should I just give you the one?
Does everyone just run out who signed on the list and didn't?
I think I have it here somewhere, but I think we didn't get around to enough. Right? Okay, you send it around again.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do that. Okay, right. So again, it helps to know. I want to get everybody's get to know everybody's name and so on. Okay, so the first topic again is obviously Karagil, a little bit off the daf, so just let me make clear what we're trying to accomplish here on this topic. Oh, here's the other one. I don't know, should we send it around? Or we'll work with the one that's going around. Okay, so basically we've the parak deals with Korban Shvuas Eidus, where Shvuah is imposed upon two Eidim who are known to or suspected of being knowledgeable, having the ability to affect the fate of one of the Nidonim in a particular case. And the question is, before you even get to that point, whether there isn't a chiyuv hagadah, an obligation for Eidim, an Eid Echad, Shnei Eidim, depending on the circumstances, is there an obligation to step up to report to the court to testify? Or is that something which is left to the discretion of the aid or the aidim? In other words, they can decide to be an uninvolved bystander. So really a very, in the context of Korban Shvuas Eidus, obviously this is a critical linchpin. In other words, if we start with the question of whether imposing a shvua upon two aidim and their response, you know, triggers a certain kind of result, we want to understand what that is, and especially looking to the prakim, the relationship between the sheker part and the kvishas ha'edus and hefsed part. So it's a natural question to ask, you know, what is the, there's a missing preliminary topic, which is why it's our first topic. Namely, you know, forget about the korban shvua, which is exotic. I mean, meaning that's artificial, that's an additional imposition. And this is a question, obviously, which is implicit in the institution of Korban Shvuas Eidus, as we're saying, but it is also an objective question that any legal system has to contend with. Right? If there is, what is the obligation of a citizen, right, to report, a bystander, if you will, a third party? What is his obligation to get involved in the court system, in the affairs of others? And every legal system has to contend with that question. Is that just, you know, a right and a choice? No one can force you to testify? Or are you obligated? How obligated are you, such that you're, you know, abstaining or refusing to come forward? Is that something that is punishable monetarily? Right? What is the expectation of you as a citizen? And what are the consequences of that? Again, in any society, one would also expect, I mean, there are certain basic questions that, you know, one would expect. So, again, if you live in a society in which, you know, well, for better or for worse, we'll say, you know, a kind of kol Yisrael arevim zeh lazeh, you know, kind of society, you know, where people are, where the federation, let's say, of citizenship, you know, isn't just convenient and efficient. Again, I'm just speaking more broadly, just to explain the background, and I guess the meta-halachic question, the more you live, you know, in a society which is, whose whose institutions really are based on a convenience or in precluding anarchy. In other words, they have a more minimalist justification and a more minimalist ambition. So there still may be some obligation to come forward, but it's going to be less because you're going to also respect the right of citizens to mind their own business and to be bystanders and to choose when to come forward. It's only going to be when something is of particularly crucial nature that affects the whole society, or you're worried about the the impact of people not getting involved and how that hampers the efficiency or like the basic elemental justice. So then you're going to have to maybe impose, maybe even with reticence, there's going to be mixed feelings about it. If you like take a political Republican philosophy, you don't want big government interfering too much in the independent lives of private citizens, and that what we know today is part of the political debate is something which from time immemorial, it's built in, it's baked into all cultures and society. Every culture has to discuss this about the nature of their law and the nature of their political system and so on. So what I'm trying to say is the more you see structures like that, a court system, rules of evidence and so on and so forth, the more that is just, efficient, and it's for the sake of kind of upkeeping, maintaining a certain minimum, so then the obligation to come forward is also going to be pressured. Now, it's basically people have the right to stay away, unless, and the unless needs to be justified. But if you look at society in a different way and the structures of society in a different way, take more of a raven zelazet, people have responsibility for each other. We look at, people's connections, not just pragmatically, but there's like an existential corporate, identity that people have. They live according to a certain culture, according to certain values, and we want to promote that in society. It isn't just about efficiency and protection and, precluding anarchy. It's about, taking life and the meaning of life, to a different step. And you can do that in a tzibor, and especially in a tzibor which has individual rights, but again, where people take responsibility for each other, there's a certain commonality in their vision. It doesn't not just they happen geographically, to live in proximity, and therefore they have to band together. So then the obligation, all obligation, not just this, so the obligation to give tzedakah, the obligation, to have homes, let's say, that don't violate other people's privacy. There's a whole slew of halachos that will, obviously be more natural and be more ambitious and more idealistic. So having said that, what does the halacha think about the chiyuv hagadas edus? Clearly, we know that the halacha projects a very idealistic system. Kol Yisrael Oreivim Zeh LaZeh. There's a notion of the tzibur. We also respect individuals' rights. So this is an important question. The idea that you might also be mechalek between different types of avios, number one, iser and mamon, hatzola, and harvacha, is very reasonable in any kind of system, including the halacha. And even if the distinction is not yes for this and no for that, there might be two dinim, or it might express itself, differently. Like you can subpoena, let's say, somebody, you can subpoena somebody to a grand jury, can't necessarily subpoena them to a, civil court case of, certainly not to, petty disputes. So too, what about mamon and what about iser? The halakha doesn't really distinguish between amounts in mamon. Right, Shavapruta is, a minimum, and the halacha has respect, for people's rights and their bailus, and their shovi, beyond whatever constitutes a shame mamon. So that distinction we don't accept, but certainly differences between iser and mamon, possibly nefashos, in Yanei Malkus, Essen, Labin, you know, how, again, just like Kocheach, Tochiach, and other Arvus type dinim, we make distinctions, that's something to look at. To what extent, in general, does the Kpeda of the Bali dinim matter? And that, of course, is relevant to the Tviya issue, which we'll be talking about. We know that Tviya, we should already know that Tviya is a requirement in Korban Shvuas Eidos, right? Does it play any role when it comes to the Chiyuv Hagodas Eidos? Does the Baldavar have to really request such a thing, or is it automatic? And if it's not automatic, does his request matter? And does that have any applicability, you know, in Isurim? So these are very, objective kind of issues to think about. And that's what's so fascinating is that the Torah and the Halacha deals exactly with these. I'm just trying to put it in a framework so that it isn't arbitrary, but we understand exactly what we're dealing with and what the stakes are. The bigger question that we're trying to figure out is to what extent this obligation to come forward, which we'll establish exists, we've already established it, but we'll reinforce having established that it certainly is the norm, it's the obligation. To what extent, how do we look at it? I mean, how do we conceptually and characteristically define it? Is it part of a larger group of general chiyuvim or isurim? Again, and very specifically, in this sugya, as we'll pin it down, and as we would have, you know, anticipated, we would have guessed this, you know, lo samar al dam riacha, right? Gemilus chasadim. These are the ones that end up being very prominent in this discussion. And in this case, you know, we don't just need to reconstruct backwards. Like this is what the Gemaras or this is what the Mefarshim tell us. And so now let's. Let's understand it from there. That's fine, too. In this case, you know, if I had woken you up in the middle of the night and said to you, you know, there's a chiyuv hagadas eidos, you know, for people who know testimony can affect cases, you know, there is such a thing, there's such an obligation, you know, what do you think it's related to? You know, so, lo samar dam reyacha, and, you know, gemilus chasadim would have, you know, come trippingly off everybody's tongue. Even in the middle of the night, right? So, on the one hand, we can look at the Chovas Haggadah in a broader way as part of a larger, you know, set of chiyuvim, again, Kol Yisrael Arevim in that sense. The question is, does it qualify from that point of view? In other words, is this, you know, are the connections here, let's say, sufficiently strong or rigorous that really should trigger? I mean, there are limits to Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha, right? And there are limits to Gemilas Chasadim. So, you know, you have to establish that the Chiyuv Hagadas Eidos, this will be important going forward, that the Chiyuv Hagadas Eidos is something that qualifies, it meets the criterion of, you know, Gemilas Chasadim, that threshold, or Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha. But if it does, then it's very understandable, and it belongs with a whole group of other halachos, and it's treated a certain way. But then mostly we would be looking at this, again, as a chiyuv that has to do with your obligations to your fellow citizen, to your neighbor, specifically to the nidon, you know, in a particular case. And if it's on the other side, to create a chiyuv, and especially in the context of Isur, right, to the victims, as we discussed the other day. Again, there might be a little bit of, you know, Galgala Choser in all of this, the Galgala Choser mentality, by which I mean, you know, what goes around, you know, comes around, you can call it, meaning, you know, you're doing this also for yourself, right, because you want, you know, the people who know evidence that can exonerate you or that can, you know, reinforce your property rights. You want them to come forward. Okay, but at the end of the day, the Ikar Mechayev will be, you know, quid pro quo and something very pragmatic. It's the you know, the person whose fate, let's say, is being held in the balance. He's the Mechayev. That's what Gemilus Chasadim is about. That's what Losamar Adam Reacha is about, etc. But there's another possibility here, And that is that this has to do with a more specific obligation, and that is in Eidos itself, or to the Beis Din system. The court system is the linchpin of the Jewish community, right? That's why Shoftim B'Shoftim Titan Lecho B'Chol Sharecha, B'Chol Pelech U'Pelech B'Chol Ir B'Ir, right? Its function is critical. That's where Jewish law, you know, is actually implemented on a regular basis. And for those of you who were here when we learned Sanhedrin a couple of years back, you know, remember the Hakdama tried to make the case that the presence of Dayanim and a Beis Din in a city as an institution, Elohim, Elokim, is also critical. In other words, there's the functional part, and then there is the presence, you know, and the tone that sets, you know, in a community. So having said that, I don't want to go through all of that again, but obviously everything is connected. Eidos is a big part of that system. And we'll talk more about that. Again, Asher asked me after last year, you know, like, where do the Eidim fit in? You know, do they work kind of, not literally, but, you know, are they, you know, working for the Balei Dvarim? Are they connected to the Dayanim? Is there something independent? I think that's a very relevant question. That's one of the things we have to try to figure out. But I think it certainly can be established that Eidim have a special chalos, that they play a special role. And we'll, I don't want to do that right now, but maybe when we wrap up this topic, we'll just talk about certain expressions of that. Some of which we've seen in the past, some of which we'll explore a little in the future, where the role of Eidim seems to transcend or to be constricted either way, in ways that don't make any sense, or at least that point to the fact that it's not just about providing data, you know, for the sake of the Dayanim's, ultimate, you know, hachra'a, or to back up, the positions of the Balei Dinim. Of course it's that. It's, you know, 80% that. But there seems to be an institution of Eidos. And Eidos has its own special halachic, you know, rules, whether it's Trei Kameya or, I just said I wouldn't talk about it, Trei Kameya or Davar Velo Chatzi Davar, things that we'll get back to. Or Yad HaEidim, Yebo Rishona Lahamiso, things that, you know, establish that the Eidim are a certain stature and a certain, they have a certain presence and function in this system called Eidos. Either way, and again, some of it has to do with the Balei Dinim, and some of it has to do with Dayanim, and has some of it that's independent. There's no easy answer to the question that Asher asked me, but I think that it's an important question. But the point is that if that perspective is true, so the role of Eidos is such that it's a linchpin in the whole system, so then it's possible that now the question will be, what is the relationship to Lo Samod or to Gemilas Chasadim? Separate from, somehow they work together, we'll talk about that also, but for the moment, there should be something very specific about the obligation, right, to step forward as Eidim and to become involved. Something that transcends, again, Gemilas Chasadim and Lo Samod. Or, if you were to argue that objectively, Kvishas Eidos, suppressing Eidos, didn't qualify for Lo Samod or for a lack of Gemilas Chasadim, objectively, that nonetheless, there is a special obligation when it comes to Eidos. And that is precisely because the role that Eidos, being an aid, is a particularly vital obligation of a halachic citizen. It's part of being supportive of, right? It's part of the maintenance of an effective court system. If that's the case, then this has to do with the nature of Eidos. And frankly, even though it may express itself in certain cases, klape a certain nidonim, right, the mechayev is not the nidonim per se. It's the obligation that you have to be, when you are able to, an aid and to support that system. So from that point of view, we're not talking about, you know, characteristically lo samar al dam reyacha. We're not talking about gemilus chasadim. We're talking about something different. It could be that there are two dinim. If there are two dinim, two separate dinim, or they essentially fuel each other, we'll talk about that. Maybe two dinim that target different cases of chiyuv hagadas eidus. Maybe the difference between isurim and mamon has to do with that. We'll at least see some suggestions in that direction. Okay, so this is basically the topic that stands in front of us. And again, it's not a single topic, with a shaklavatarya, and in one place and so on. But it's something which requires a little bit of an expansive treatment. So that's what we're going to do. So we've already discussed parts of this. I just want to pin down some of the makoros, and in that context, fill out some of these questions. Any questions till now? Yeah.
I'm not sure if you're saying this, but wouldn't the role of Beis Din outside of the specific parameters of judging, like the presence in the cities, would we not be related to Aedas? Aedas is meaning whatever.
No. I was just 100%. I was using the role of the broader idea of having a Beis Din system and a community, and trying to show that that itself is not only pragmatic and functional, to try to show that the Beis Din system, intends also to accomplish certain educational value things and so on. And as such, anything that also provides better, let's say, infrastructure or integrity to that whole system ends up spilling over into the rest. I wasn't suggesting that the Eidos part would affect that, because Eidos are Eidos. They're third party, they're not Bali Dinim and they're not Dayan, 100%. I didn't mean that. I was just trying to show that, there's a lot of evidence in general that everything having to do with Din and Beis Din and Sanhedrin and that whole process is something that, goes beyond the expedient. Yeah.
Wouldn't the role of Adam also potentially be different between Romanos and Fashas, especially because of Hasra and what the role of
Adam could be 100%. So we'll talk about that too. Again, in the issues where you need, to aid him, you need to aid him. But we will talk about that extensively. Again, in what we learned Sanhedrin, we talked about it a little bit. Meaning a kat and dini mamonas, kat and dini mamonas. Why is it that you can have, edus miyuchedes, dini mamonas and dat dini nefarsh? We'll talk about that again because it comes up. Edus yidia below re edus umdana, right, in mamonas and nefarshos. Or other differences between mamonas and nefarshos when it comes to edus. Not only, we know that differences in din and dayan, in the masum batan and the gemar din and the number of people in the bezdin, but there are differences between Edim as well. So the idea that that could be just more chamor because the stakes are higher. That's certainly the way some Rishonim put it. Or it could be that this maybe you really only need. I'll say it this way now, and we'll elaborate later. Maybe you only need two eid echads in mamo, but in the fashos you need a kat. There's no such thing as eid echads in Isur. So 100%, the difference is
in terms of providing information versus being part of the actual massivity.
That might be an extension of it too. What is the Beis Din and what role do they play? Just like Eidei Kiyum, let's say, in Ishus is a certain role, so too, how you look at the role of Edom in Isur. Why is it that, Nemanus works in some Isurim, and in Nefashos or things of that sort, and Malkus and Nefashos, not only is not Nemanus not good, even the Aegis of Mamanus isn't good. You have, let's say, three Madrigos. So that's all part of it. I just don't want to get too bogged down. Yeah?
You said that
Lemanus
doesn't differentiate between different quantities of Dine Mamanus. Can this be because a certain quantity of Dine Mamonos
would just become a matter of dinim nefashos? Does that become? What do you mean? No, I was just saying that a pruta is the same as $1 million, mostly, in a din Torah. In other words, the Torah is very respectful of people's rights and their money, irrespective of the amount that it is. That's in American society, let's say, whatever the law is, certainly the culture is, that there's petty court, and then there's, grand larceny, right? And culturally also, somebody steals $2 from you, and maybe that's correct from a pragmatic point of view, it's certainly correct. That's different than if he, steals, $2 billion from you. But the halacha has a rule, and that is that, Mishnah says in Perek Hazav, that, Bezin doesn't sit for less than a pruta. And one of them is, that Bezin doesn't bother with less than a pruta. Presumably, because, again, I don't want to get to the status of pruta right now. We actually did it last year, those who were here on Kiddushim, we did a lot. But whatever it is, whether it's Mechila, or it's, because there's no Shem Mamon, but beyond what is Shem Mamon, which is a pruta, right, the amount of money is not important. That's what we were saying. And I'm not sure what you were saying. What does that do with nefashos?
If you take someone,
Well, Mamonus is never nefashos. Even if it's a lot of money, and it affects his, well-being. It still doesn't become the dinei nefashos in the dinim of dinei nefashos, meaning in the dinim of how many, what kind of bezdin, you require, bezdin of 3, a bezdin of 23, in terms of, it's settled by, a majority of 1, or you need a majority of 2. The order of, who makes the time. There are all sorts of rules, Mishnayos and Sanhedrin, differences between dinei mamonos and dinei nefashos. And we were hinting at the fact that in Eidos, that's a little less obvious, but even in Eidos, there are Eidos Mechedes and Eidos Umdana and a bunch of other things where there's a difference between the Eidos that is effective in Dini Mamonos and the Eidos that is effective in Dini Nefashos. As far as those are concerned, the Hagdara, the definition of Mamonos and Nefashos, are very, very specific. And any money, no matter how much money, is money, and treated as money, it still does in Shul Gimel. It can be a fortune, it could be something that affects people, in a very devastating way. It's still, a Bez and Shul Gimel. And Nefashos is always Bez and Shul Gimel. There's a clear recognition that, money is money, as important as that can be, Pachim Ketanim are important too, but it's still Dinei Mamonos, and it's a Siyoyib L'Mechil, you have to have some perspective. And we're very, on the one hand, the halacha is very, very, you can look at it in two ways. When I say, din mea, kedin pruta, it says a lot about din mea, meaning don't get, carried away. Money is still just money. But it may be more importantly, it says something about din pruta, meaning even whatever money you own that is yours, that you have bailus over, should be respected and treated, as a serious issue. That's what we mean by it. But in Achanami, that's different in halacha than in other cultures. Okay, so let's go back. So, why wouldn't there be a Chovos Haggadah? Both in terms of logic and in terms of Mekoros. The answer, I think, is, and are there any indications that there aren't? So, we already mentioned that in terms of Minyan HaMitzvos, almost all the Monei HaMitzvos count the Chovos Haggadah as a mitzvah. And that's very remarkable in a way, frankly, because, as we already established, there's no, unequivocal pasuk, that establishes this chiyuv, right? It's established implicitly, in the Gemaras, and it's associated with certain psukim. But again, almost every other mitzvah in Taryag, I wouldn't say everyone, there are other exceptions too, but typically mitzvah saseh in Taryag, you can find a very straightforward lashon akra, with a language of tzivui, which tells you to do something, or at least very close. When you don't have that, it's interesting, and you wonder why. We talked about that already. So the fact that almost all the Monei HaMitzvos do count the chiyuv Haggadah Seidus is fascinating. Again, Reb Sadjagon and Bahag do not. It's hard to say that they think that there is no chiyuv, because, as we'll discuss in a second, we've already discussed basically, the Gemara in Bava Kamma and the Gemara in Sanhedrin at least seem clearly to establish that there is, right? Ma lanu l'tzara azos. The Mishnah says very clearly that, you know, you don't have a choice. You're supposed to do this. Gehu eid. And it doesn't sound like it's saying, oh, it's valuable, it's a good thing to do, and therefore you should do it even though it's a tzara. It sounds like it's saying, you know, it's not up to you. You don't have the luxury of stepping aside, you know, and claiming, you know, that you prefer, you know, to be indifferent or to be uninvolved. So it seems clear. So it sounds like Rav Sajjah going to the Bahag are going to have to say, this is what Yeruchim Fishel Perlo also concludes, that they're going to have to say that there isn't a specific mitzvah, but it is under the rubric of other mitzvahs. So what will they do with the Gemaras that seem to quote the specific psukim? So probably they'll have to say that the specific psukim, b'hu eid, gimlo yagid, merely establish what we might not otherwise have known, and that is that Haggadah Seydus Bebezdin is something that meets the threshold of the more universal already counted dinim, like Gemilas Chasadim, or and Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha, right? Again, and since there are already Rishonim, you know, who are quoting those Makoros anyway, right, it makes it easier for us to say that, you know, that we're not stretching and we're not really totally speculating. Again, you know, the Ramban, and after him is Talmud and the Ra'ah, right, quote Gemilas Chasadim. We'll talk about each one specifically as we get to it. Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha has its makar in the Sifra in Parshas Kedoshim. It connects it to Kvishas Eidus, right? It's also mentioned in Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, right, in the context of Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha. It's also mentioned in the Shiltos, right? Shiltos has Kisechata, as we discussed, but he also has Lo Samar Al Dam Reyacha. So the idea that Rav Sajjah Gaon Bahag didn't count this, not because they didn't think there was an obligation, that's hard to say, given the evidence, almost impossible to say, maybe impossible to say. So certainly the likely answer, the reasonable answer, is that they felt that this was part of a larger chiv. And as I say, the psukim, they'll either say are asmachtas, or they'll say, no, these psukim, you know, establish that, you know, Chovas Haggadah passes this particular threshold. What would be a reason to think that maybe not at all? The idea of minding your own concerns, right, and not being involved or being not inserting yourself in the middle of other people's quarrels. That is a value too, right, Mordechai? How do we know that that's a value?
Putting yourself into others' quarrels.
Yeah. Well, number one, it sounds like a wise piece of advice, and maybe even a halachically proper thing, you know, not to insert yourself in other people's machlokas. Right.
I think you have no authority to do such.
I mean, what's it here? What's it got to do with you? Yeah, Yossi? Which Gemara I'm talking? Say again? Yeah. Right, very good. So that's number one. And what, I don't know if any of you have gotten to the Gemara here yet, but the Gemara here on excellent, very good. And the Gemara here on Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph doesn't talk about just in terms of Chovas Haggadah, but the Gemara has a very famous comment. Again, we're going to go through all these once we start going straight. Basher lo tov asa b'toch hamav. This is also, for those, again, the Sanhedrin people, when we learned Sanhedrin a few years ago, Sanhedrin Zion of Base, this appears as well, right? Asher lo tov asa b'toch hamav. Rav amar zeh haba b'har shah, Shmuel amar zeh alokeach tzadu she'esha levasikin. But it's basically the idea of a misasek b'riv she'ena shalo. So you could say there's a fine line between being misasek b'riv she'ena shalo, right, and injecting yourself into the court procedures as well. Yeah.
So, as Molly said, absolutely. Maxi posne kelim, why they're misaber, we really love.
Right. Correct. So there are number of makoros, 100%, that basically tell you. Now, again, all these cases are cases where You know, we're talking about initially, right? Now, just don't get involved in, you know, again, the Bava Harsha. You know, don't be the... the Sefer Hasidim actually has a line in which he says, you know, don't be an Eidachad in a case. Okay, I told you, I don't know if you got a chance to see the Mishnah Savram and the Sefer Hasidim, but the Sefer Hasidim says, don't be an Eidachad in a case. He says, oh, I know. Then the Mishnah Savram, is the parish there, says, I know what you're going to say. It's against the Gemara in Psachim that, you know, the Rabban Sholem, one of the people, one of the three, you know, that he's so near, is people who, you know, who don't come forward, or the Gemara in Bava Kamma, right, that Eid Echad also, you know, is obligated to. So he says, no, it doesn't mean that. It's very meduyak in Sefer Hasidim. Sefer Hasidim says, is to begin with, let's say somebody says to you, I'm about to lend, Reuven says, I'm about to lend money to Shimon. Okay, come, be my Eid Echad. Okay, if he says, come, be my Shnayim Eidim, that, you know, that's one thing. But if he says, come, be my Eid Echad, says the Sefer Hasidim, you know, probably you shouldn't do that because you're asking for trouble. Let him get either Shnayim Eidim. What kind of business is this? Let him get Shnayim Eidim or not. I mean, Dafka wants to have an Eid Echad so you can be Mashbiya, and then, you know, you get into all sorts of other issues as well. So there are numerous, okay, you have to, you know, pin down the Hagdara. I don't want to do that right now. But the point is that there are, in different circumstances or different stages, you know where, you know, you face the decision whether or not, you know, to involve yourself, you know, in a certain way in other people's, you know, legal and monetary lives. You know, one should be careful, you know, not to, you know, be exploited, or just to avoid other people's, rib. However, right, the point is, and what about, you know, once that the rib exists and it's in court and you can be, you know, somebody who helps to clarify the situation, do we still say that you have the right, you know, to avoid, you know, the rib, you know, shalolo? It's an interesting question, right? That's A. So I'm just trying to show that there might have been a different side. Moreover, the fact that there can be zilzul, another factor, you know, forget about the avoidance of strife, you know, and of choosing sides, you know, and alienating the other side and so on, or just privacy. The other aspect is, you may not want to be dragged through the mud, or you may, you know, perceive yourself in a certain way. You don't want to go to be dragged to court every day, you don't want to be dragged to court. Again, here you are, you know, the, you know, you're Rockefeller, you know, and you live next door to, you know, the anti-Rockefeller, you know, and you happen to be the witness, you know, on, you know, on this transaction, this, you know, $5 dispute, you know, between, you know, your two other neighbors. So, you know, you're going to drag a Rockefeller or Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or Jeff Bezos. I want me to keep going. You're going to drag them to court to testify about this $5 lawsuit between these people. Or maybe it's a $5 lawsuit between, you know, Warren Buffett and Jeff Bezos, you know, which would even be more ludicrous. Meaning there can be situations where, right, it's not worth your time, right? It's inolifichvodo, given who you are. So it's very reasonable, either because of the circumstances of the case, or the case, or the personalities involved, you know, in one way or another, that, you know, you may want to avoid being dragged to court. Is there a hardcore, across-the-board chiyuv to do so? So in a way, we have this. How do we have it? Don't you? Talmud Chacham, possibly Kohen Go. We have to pin down these halachos, not today, but this, we'll talk about them generally for a moment. Talmud Chacham, Kohen Gadol, possibly Melech, right? There are people who have a certain objective stature. Again, going back to the previous comment, right? You know, Pruta is Kameya. You know, the halacha doesn't distinguish between, you know, very wealthy people and people, you know, of lesser means, because that's not a chalos, that's not important, you know, halachically. But the Kohen Gadol and a Melech, a Talmud Chacham who have a certain objective greater stature, by which we mean, number one, on a personal level, it's more painful for them, meaning it's a greater sacrifice, both in terms of the use of their time and their dignity. It's more difficult to drag into court. Moreover, and this, of course, is a stronger argument, the institutions, you know, that they are associated with, which give them this extra stature, the Malchus, the Kohuna Gedola, right, the Keser Torah, which is Munach Lakol, but for the people who, you know, who have accomplished in it, so, you know, it's not Kavod HaTorah, it's not Kavod, you know, HaKahuna, or Kahuna Gedola, it's not Kavod HaMalchus. So the point is that Kavod can be a factor. If that's true, so then one might argue that, you know, why only, you know, in those particular cases. We'll see about Kavod in the cases of Isurim. We know what the Gemara says, and we'll see whether it's an absolute or not. Part of the question of the relationship between Isur and Mamon on this issue. I'm just pointing out that there could be, you know, several good reasons, you know, why one might legitimately want to abstain from coming forward, you know, in a Din Torah. Again, the fact that the Gemara in Psachim on Kuf Yud Gimel, you know, speaks of, you know, of somebody who does abstain as a Sone Hashem, but not somebody who violates, is very interesting too. It sounds like, is that just another Melitza? In other words, and maybe even a worse one or an equal one? You know, would the Gemara call somebody, you know, who wasn't in violation, you know, of at least a mitzvah saseh, or an objective chote, would he call him a sone Hashem? Hard to know, you know. It's, remember the two other cases also, right? Echad be, you know, the peh ve'echad b'leiv, right, which is certainly a bad thing, but is that a person who violates necessarily a particular Isur, or has, you know, you know, has trampled on a chiyuv haTorah very, very specifically, as well as the second case, which is a very interesting one. Namely, he's telling the truth; he's an eid echad, but it's a davar shebe'erva, so he, you know, is going to be motzi shame. It happens to be true, but the net result of what he does, right, is going to end up being destructive. Is such a person in violation of Isurei HaTorah? Not so clear. So when the Gemara says that he's a Sone Hashem, if he abstains from coming, like what is that a level, you know, which implies a formal chiyuv, or something less than that? It also could be that the Gemara in Psachim is talking only about an Eid Echad, which gets back to the sugya in Bava Kamma. The question is, what is the relationship between the Chiyuv Eid Echad and the Chiyuv Shnayim? The Rais and Rabbanan, are they two different dinim? Where do you draw the line, which we'll talk more about? Or maybe it's a case where there's no Tviya. That's a suggestion, I don't know if anybody saw it, of the Meshech Chachma makes that suggestion, that the Gemara Psachim is talking about where dinim ominous and there's no Tviya. And the actual Chiyuv, obviously what he was trying to explain, was that Kadosh Baruch Hu Sonan, which is a terrible, terrible thing. I want to make that perfectly clear. But, you know, obviously thinks that it's not in violation of the obligation of Chiyuv Agadah. All I'm trying to say is that, you know, whether it's the paradigm of Riv Ro Lo Lo, but where you draw the line, where it's the paradigm of Kohen Gadol Melech and Talmud Chacham, but, you know, applied differently. Or whether it's the Gemara in Psachim, There could be good reason to think that that there is no such obligation, or that the obligation isn't a hard and firm, you know, chiyuv or mitzvah among the mitzvah of taryag. And yet, the Gemara is very clear in Sanhedrin and in Bava Kamma especially, and in the Sifra in terms of Osama al-Damriyacha, that this is an absolute chiyuv, and that it isn't something that is merely a reshus, even with pressure. Yeah.
Of the cases Gemara brings about Shoshah Kedush
about what I can hear.
The case of the Gemara brings about Shoshah Kedush Baruch Hu
Olam. Yeah.
Mishenu Mishtaker, Mishenu Ma'avir, Mishenu Ma'avir Amidaisa.
Right. So how do you explain, and what did that show?
There's just a parallel sounds like they're not really
good. Right. It sounds like these are, you know, of course, very important values, but not absolute chiyuv, which is, I think, what drove.
Yeah, I saw a form that are even discussed from the Gemara, but in the back, it sounds like they're not real chiyuv.
From the comparison to the other ones. Who says that?
I don't remember. I'm trying to find it again.
One of your kind of people.
What?
I mean, one of your kind of people.
Yeah.
Where you don't know their names.
I'm searching through the archives.
I got it. Oh, do we have that? Do we have something like a Talmud, you know, Hari type books on Shuas? Let me know. I'm putting you in charge of finding out.
So
you report back.
Tosi Shanim that came out
with
you like 50 years ago.
Tosi Shanim?
Yeah?
That same place, Ofek?
Not Ofek. It's not no Yichas to the other Tosi Shanim.
Oh.
They just called it that.
Okay.
Those of other Gemaras actually have it.
Oh.
And they have it in the Al Maseches. There's also the Revavra Minahar from a Plow.
On Shavuos?
Yeah.
All right, I don't have that. I have almost all of that. One of the red books?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We'll talk. All right. Anyways, so this is one perspective. It's nidche clearly by, you know, again, we have to figure out what is the case of Psalchem talking about. You know, again, how to explain kavod and these other things.
It was a tshuva me'ava. Tshuva is tshuva me'ava.
That it's not a real chiyuv.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah.
With regard to the Torah of the Melech, in some sense, it's comparable to the eclipse idea by Kimla, in that there, you know, someone just killed and died. You're focusing on money. So here, like, these are people dealing with, you know, these important, exalted things, and you're focusing on, you know, $5 disputes.
Or it doesn't matter the amount, but it's...
Right, whatever.
Because, again, the amount doesn't matter.
Right, but in the same notion that there are things that...
I mean, it isn't just that, you know, that it's, you know, the fichlodom, but it's something that goes internally to the... Whatever it is that makes you chayv to come forward and that supports the system in this way,
right.
These other factors are... Are neutralize that even not just as a external clash, but there's something more correct. That's something which I'm going to suggest. That is the institutions. If we're trying to uphold, this is another perspective. We'll have to try to follow through with it. If we're trying to uphold the system of din, and it isn't just the chiyuv klape, you know, Ruvain, you know, who's $5 or who's $50 million, let's say. You know, are at stake. So then, a way of looking at, you know, the patur. But again, the only problem with this perspective. What one said first. The problem with looking at this, the way that you may look at this patur is not so much that it's a clash between totally unrelated factors. You know, where, you know, let's say, kavod kohen gadol, kavod amelech, kavod talmid chacham. You know, beats out the other. But maybe the idea is that it's more of an internal weighing of choices. In other words, you want to reinforce the structure of Beis Din and everything that implies, and of justice, you know, and that requires, you know, people stepping out of their comfort zone, even when there is some zilzul or waste of time or the, you know, legitimate shrinking away from being involved in other people's dispute, which is a halachically valid value per se, right? And in other contexts is actually koveya, right? But the reason is, but nonetheless, in order to support, you know, tzedek and emes and the mishpat, you know, system and so on, you can't. But the point may be that when it comes to sacrificing the institutions of Kahuna Malchus Keser Torah, right? So that's also, these are also pillars, you know, of the Jewish community. Now, if you see it that, well, being a Kohen Gadol, being a Melech, being a Talmud Chacham, you know, kind of raises your profile. And Mimela, you as this particular individual, objectively, we understand now why, you know, this is not Lefi Chvodcha. But it's about, you know, personal kavod, given the institutional low plug, you know, that defines you having this higher requirement of kavod. then it's still about a clash between your needs and his needs. But if it really is about, you know, institutional kavod, what you might say is that these institutions matter. It's not good for the Jewish community, right, that the Kohen Gadol or the Melech or Talmid Chacham should be dragged, you know, into court for every dispute. And for the same reason that there is a chiyuk, that's exactly what I would like to suggest. But then, and this is very important, we just need to note that when the Gemara introduces this, they introduce it as part of the general din of the Hisalamta. Right? Heck, does somebody want to read? Alex, want to read just that line in the Gemara? Either way, because we need it in a minute. I think I gave it that in the Gemara Mekomis to read now anyway, right? Hi, Tzubim Rabbanam Rabba Babar Huna? On the Lamed of Days. Hi, Tzubim Rabbanam Be'am Arts Yisudina Bahadi Avadi? Oh, is that the... Am I starting in the right place? Thanks.
Hi, Tzubim Rabbanam The other Sad Husa. How's
that? No, you could say, I'm sorry, the other one. I'm sorry. Omer Rabbar Huna, Hai Tzur Rabbanu Diyadu V'Sadusa.
Hai Tzur Rabbanu Diyadu V'Sadusa. Mizil Yimil Lemez Lebeid Dayana, Dizutra Minei, Lasu Dekanei, Lo Lezel.
Yeah, that's the din that we're talking about.
Omer Shisha Bredi Ravidi, Avna Nami Tanina, Matza Sako Kupa, Ve'ein Darko Lito, Hareze Lo Ito.
Yeah, so what is that? What's that din? The what? Metzia. That's the din of the Hisalamta, right? Normally, you're not allowed to ignore the opportunity to do a Shabbos Aveda or things of that sort, or to help somebody pre-Kutina. So the psukim that we're reading, Kriyasa Torah, right? You're obligated to, but in a case of somebody whose kabod, let's say, is on a different level, there's no hagdara of the salam. Okay? So the Gemara then says, Hani bin Libam Amona.
Rav Yisura, in chachma bin tuna bin eitza l'neged Hashem. Komok mishin shchil Hashem, in chol kin kavod l'rav.
Yeah. So the point I just want to make is that this idea, at least when it comes to Talmid Chacham, the part of the question is whether kuhuna gedola and Melech has the same din as Talmid Chacham. For example, there's a debate, we'll try to pin it down, in terms of whether or not the difference between Mammon and Iser applies automatically to Kohen Gadol and Melech. That seems to be a clear Machlokas Rishonim and Poskim. So we might be Mechalek between them. But the way that Gemara presents the Talmid Chacham issue, right, it compares it to the V'Hisalamta question. In V'Hisalamta, it's hard to say, you know, that it's about, you know, unless you want to say that too is about institutions, but it's harder to say that, obviously. So, is there some other common denominator between them, even if it isn't exactly the same, but there's still a parallel which is relevant? So I'll make sure that I get back to that. Okay? But that's something to consider. It's also, in light of this, the next Gemara, Rav Yemar. Go ahead, Alex.
Rav Yemar have a yadalei sadu sel mar sutra. Also lechamei damemar. Osbinu lekulu.
He sat them all. Even though originally we said that what? That Edim in the Gemara is supposed to stand. Right? So the Gemara says, Omele Ravashi, lamemar.
Omele Ravashi, lamemar. Ve'almarula machlokus v'alei dinin v'alve'edim debriha kol be'amida. Amarlei, hayasei v'hayasei.
Yeah. So this is a an example of what? Of a clash between kavod, right, and the din of amidas ha'edin. And the Gemara calls it hayaseh v'hayaseh, aseh de kavod adif. Yeah.
It's also interesting the Gemara and
Sanhedrin
behind Gimel connects to what's out of the
Yeah.
Here we have Hashem Zavid being compared to the issue of Adas, and we also have Adas being compared to Sama Gemara.
Yeah, it's an interesting point.
So you kind of connect the three together and say that.
And also the Gemil's Chassadim part might be part of that. Yeah. Very good. Very good. It's a good point. This next Gemara, I just want to say something about very quickly, and that is as follows. So if we're trying to figure out what is the Makar and what, you know, for this, again, what we've said so far is there are a few good reasons, you know, to think that even from a halachic point of view, it isn't so pashut that you can force people to come to court. That was point number one. And the fact is that, you know, we have three or four different elements of this. Nonetheless, you know, the Mishnah Sanhedrin and the Gemara Bava Kamma do establish that, at least when it comes to Trei Edim, that there is such an obligation. That is pretty pretty clear. So now the question is, what is the nature of this halacha and what is its basis? So again, according to the Sifra, you could just say, Losam Damrecha, maybe that's the Pshat, Rup Sadja, and the Bahag, and that has certain implications as we discussed. It's not necessarily have anything to do with Bezdin or Eidus. These are just Heichetimtzis. These are applications and nothing more. It's more intriguing to try to figure out whether or not this has to do, this is a special din. And if it's special, it could still be an extension of Gilul Chasadim and Losam Adam Re'acha, possibly. But then at least could be what we're looking for, which is this idea of an independent din based on the role of Edim and the role of Mishpat and Tzedek and so on. Okay, so having said that, what are the potential makoros for this? And is it asay? Is it a lav? Is it something which implies, again, a chiyuv to the nidon or to the system? Is it treated as more than a regular asay or lav, like in terms of language and so on? All of these would be important things to try to pin down and figure out. Yeah?
Is it possible to say that once there's a chiyuv edus in the hadar after chiyuv edus, now there becomes a chiyuv as well because you're responsible for...
Yes, I'm going to suggest that, 100%. And that might be some of the combination of Kimil Skasad. What I call... Like my I spoke many times of Pashaya Kemazik, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
100%. I think this may, for some Rishonim.
Once there's a din.
Yeah, but if anybody didn't catch it, don't worry about it. We're going to get back to it. But 100%. I'm going to get back to it. Yeah. So let's talk about the first possibility, which might have been the Amdushne Anashim Bedin. Like, could that have been a makar for a Chiyuv Haggadah? Ah. Why would the Amdushne Anashim Bedin be a makar? Maybe the Gemara that we just read establishes that. How so, Adam? Because the Gemara says something quite remarkable, really. The second case. First case said, right, that there's no obligation to show up in a court, right, if there's zilzil kavod, right, just like the halamda. Then the Gemara goes on and has another case. What's the second case? What we just read?
They come and they sit them down.
They come and the question is sitting down. And the Gemara calls that Hayasei v'Hayasei, right? And the Gemara says, Asei de Kavanat Torah. It sounds like standing when you testify is a mitzvah Asei. So again, is this Gemara Melitza B'Alma or do they really mean it, right? If they do mean it, you should always assume that we mean it, you know, unless we know that we don't, right? So the Gemara characterizing a mida in the context of Eidos as an asay is a little bit striking, right? How so or why is it? What do you think? By putting Moshe, what do you think?
It's not an
asay.
There's
not
chiyuv. Interesting.
Yeah, if there's no chiyuv hagadas Eidos, then, you know, can there be a chiyuv when you're being made to stand up? The answer is yes. It's possible. But, you know, that's there's something mechudash here, put it this way. Either that is what is mechudash, meaning, and what would that be? You may not be obligated per se, or it's gemilas chasadim or something else, but when you do it, you have to stand up. Meaning already comportment in the bezdin, in the presence of dayanim, or partly to... maybe establish, right, what indeed the, you know, differentiation of roles are, you know, the Balidinim, the Edim, the Dayanim, right, just like some of them think that's part of the story of Ein Ed Na'aseh Dayan, right, you know, just figuring out, you know, what is everybody's role. So the comportment of Amida, right, is really an asay. It's a little bit mechudash. It seems like very much a prat. Or, is this really the Gemara's way of saying? Is this the Gemara that actually also says it's, you know, also says that there's a Chiyuv Agadas Eidos? The Chiyuv Agadas Eidos, you know, is to come and also, you know, to come and to comport yourself in a certain way. So then the Gemara here is saying that the Hayaseh, Va'amdu Shnei Anash, is Va'amdu Shnei Anashim a reference to Eidim? The answer is that's the first Gemara, right? Adam, guess very quickly.
The Gemara has been on immediately.
We're going to talk about Nashim Be'edos, obviously, you know, not to distant future once we start going straight.
Nashachlomar, Nemar, Kan Shne, Venemar, Han Shne, Malahalan, Be'edim, Afkan, Be'edim.
Okay. So keep going just a little more.
Tanya idach. Yamdu shnei anashim be'edim akasa medaber. Atamar be'edim o'en el be'baladinen. Amar t'vechi shnayim bayin ladin. Shlosha in bayin ladin. V'im nafshach lamar. Nemar kan shnei v'nemar halan shnei. Malahalan be'ed mafkan be'edim. Ma'im nafshach lamar. V'chi tema v'tovea v'nitba kamish da'ikro. Nemar kan shnei v'nemar halan shnei. Malahalan be'ed mafkan be'edim.
Yeah. Okay, one more.
Tanya idach. Yamdu shnei anashim be'edim akasa medaber.
We'll talk about detail, but yeah, go ahead.
Atamar be'edim o'en el be'baladinen. Amar t'vechi anashim bayin ladin. Nashim ein ba'os ladin. In nafshach lamar, nemar kan shnei v'nemar halan shnei, malahalan be'edim afkan be'edim, my nafshach lamar, v'chitema isha lav orcha, shem kol kvuda bas melech panima, nemar kan shnei v'nemar halan shnei, malahalan be'edim afkan be'edim.
Yeah, so basically, the Gemara basically establishes that the Pasuk, ba'om du shnei anashim bedin, refers to both edim and bali din. Right, that's really what it is. That it's merumas, the pashta sakra is that it's talking about bali dinim, and it's written in such a way, based on all these ramazim, that it refers also to the Eidim. So again, going back to what I began with on Thursday, which was, is there a chiyuv for Bali Dinim to come to court? Right? That depends, as we discussed, on the one hand, it's a siyav l'mechila. On the other hand, is an iser of arkos. Right? How does that work out? I mentioned, you know, two perspectives. So it's interesting, right? We talked about there that, you know, is there an obligation of Dayanim to be done? It's an interesting argument. Is there an obligation fundamentally for Bali Dinim to come to court? An interesting argument, right? And then in between, is there an obligation for Eidim to come? So if the Amdu Shnei Anashim refers to both, and again, in terms of the Pshuto Shokra, the Amdu Shnei Anashim is a description, you know, if this happens, this is how you proceed, or this is a statement, it's like an imperative, the Amdu Shnei Anashim Bedin. The Bali Dinim are supposed to come to court, the Eidim are supposed to come to court. So it is interesting also that the Rambam, just one more second, and then we'll take Aryeh's question. The Rambam, in this Parak Aleph, Halacha Beis, does something a little interesting, not, you know, conclusive, but what does he do? Just interesting in terms of this Gemara. What does he do? He combines the Gemara. He says, Hai Asei, or Asei de Kavarat Torah Adif, not by the case of Amida, but by the case of not coming. Do you have it there? What? Anyway, who has a Rama? I have a Rama. Yeah, go ahead.
I have eight Chacham Gadol, I have based in published men of Chachma, whole of ink, photo, shalach, lefdam, asay shal kavarat Torah adif yashalim.
Asay the kavarat Torah adif. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with what the Rambam says, because it's true. Right? But that's not the language that the Gemara used. In this case, it's the language that the Gemara uses in the case of Amida. I'm just wondering whether or not the Rambam, who does anyways think that there's a mitzvah saseh to show up in court, and it's a specific who aid or roi yada, as we know, perek aleph halacha aleph and sefer mitzvos and so on, whether or not there, when the Rambam read the Gemara, he didn't think, again, he doesn't say the makor is v'om d'shnei anashim bedin, but he does seem to think that, you know, you can just interchange. It's not such a big chiddush, the interchanging, but it is something that he did in the Gemara, which works well for him. For people like the Bahag or the or the Rapsadjagra. I'm not sure whether that's a proper thing to do. Arye first, yeah.
In light of this discussion, it's interesting to point out that the Rashash from here actually tries to draw proof.
The who? The Rashash?
The Rashash, yeah.
Yeah.
Tries to say from here it's clear that the Amdu isn't even a mitzvah, or else that, well, Kavadat Torah wouldn't take precedence over it.
Oh, wow.
So he says, like, Kavadat Torah, if it was actually
a mitzvah. And what about the Isalamta?
I'm not sure what he does with that. He just says that the new Elohim, maybe Mizir Raya, last smab is Simon Yitzayin, the Asay, the Amdu, Eno Elah Smata, Tihava Asay Gomer, Lohava Nitha, and then Asay, the Kavadat Torah.
Tayachal
limchol.
Well, either way, it can be mochel. We'll talk about that anyway. Whether it can be mochel, should be mochel.
Exactly the opposite.
Right. That's a good point. I didn't see it, but very good. So the Rashash is basically concerned with what we're concerned with, but coming to the opposite conclusion. I just don't know what does he do with the Hisalamta.
It has a kaza.
Okay. I mean, it's only Hisalamta. Hisalamta is not a. I mean, the Gemara here is comparing it to Hisalamta.
Is it saying that the Makar is coming from Vesalanta, or is it saying it's similar?
I'm saying the Pashtus is that the Gemara is, you know, he's saying, well, you can compare to Vesalanta if you don't have a Pasuk, otherwise you need your own Pasuk for this particular thing. Interesting. But again, it's another interesting example, because you could have said, again, Gemilas Chasadim, if the Mechayiv is Gemilas Chasadim alone, or and so on, then Vesalanta is fine. Right? That's also true. So it's a good ha'ara. Thank you. Yeah.
Also, the Tash based on the Zohar can't use this Gemara to prove that there's a mitzvah seseh.
He says that what Tash would say?
He uses this Gemara to prove that there's a mitzvah seseh.
That there's a mitzvah of?
I've got to say this.
He quotes from Amdu Shnei Nashrim in this Gemara? Really? I didn't know that. Where?
Mitzvah essay in Gimel.
In Zohar Rakia?
Yeah. He actually has two mitzvahs. He has a mitzvah lo saseh in Gimel and then chatei in lo saseh.
Which, how does this one go? Do you have them in front of you?
No. He learns out both of them from the Pasuk.
So, and where does he? We'll talk about that. I mean, he has both. Yeah. Well, that I did know about the Tashbetz, that he has Asay and Alos Asay. But he also says,
yeah, it brings out an
Asay
to prove it.
And he reads the Gemara this way.
Yeah.
So I'm suggesting that he got it from the Rambam. Maybe. Okay. This is very important. Okay. Noach, yeah. The previous one. I think so.
He's injecting this Svara, not that he's saying Vam Dushay Nashim is the source for the Haisei, but he's injecting Svara the Gemara into the gate before.
No, he's clearly doing that. I'm just saying.
That would make the source Vam Dushay Nashim there be.
I'm just saying, if he thought Va'am Dushnei Nashim was an Asay, I mean, either way, he has holds as an Asay. I think we're saying the same thing. In other words, the Rambam already established in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph, based on his global understanding of all the sugyas, that there's a Chovetz Haggadah to come to court. And it is an Asay. He's counting it in Taryag, in both in the Koteret here, and he repeats it in Perak Aleph Halacha Aleph, and in Sefer HaMitzvos. So from his point of view, the fact that the Gemara didn't say Hayasei and Hayasei in the more basic point, and they did say it in the more technical point, is strange. So I'm suggesting that's where he put it together, even though he doesn't quote V'am Dushnei Anashim as the makar for the Chiyuv Haggadah, he actually quotes V'hu'eino Ro'yada, right? But he thinks that that's a pshat. And I think he read the Gemara also the other way, meaning, what, there's an Asay? I think it's two things. Number one, the omission in the first case when there is a Chiyuv Asay. And number two is the fact that, there's an independent mitzvah of a that's a taxis, you know, that's a posture in the mitzvah of Haggadah Seidus. So when the Gemara says, you know, Hayasei v'Hayasei, you know, it's the V'am Dushnei Anashim, there's a prat in the mitzvah of Haggadah.
Actually, it makes sense that he doesn't quote V'am Dushnei Anashim if he's bothered by why it's more important.
You mean for Nashim itself, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there are other reasons for that also, but he doesn't. That's true. Could be. So anyways, for the Rambam, I think that's how we read the Gemara, and thank you for the Tash. Do you have the numbers of the Tashbits?
I think it's Nun Gimel and Essay and Chafei and Lossar.
Nun Gimel and Chafei. Okay, we'll put that on the official. I'll bring it in next time. I know he has Essay and Lossar. I just didn't remember that he had Belmishnev. You have language?
No, not
okay. So we'll try to get it for... If you can bring it for next time, that'll be good. Together with the other assignments that I gave you earlier, which are going to, you know, about finding out about all the Kesveyad and the things that are going to occupy you for hours and hours. Okay. So, good. So that's the Amdushne Anashim and how that fits in. Other Rishonim will have to say it's either Melitza or that it's a mitzvah of Amida alone, but that has nothing to do with the Chiyuv Haggadah. I think the Rambam integrated them, and the Tashbetz, I think, is working with that. Yeah, Josh.
The other interesting about this pasuk, it makes the Eidim seem like they're partners of the Rid.
Makes them, well, again, because this is an aid, again, getting back to Asher's point, which is a broader question and hard to pin down, but yeah. It is interesting, right? And it's hard to know beyond that what, because there are meta-halachic questions about limudim and so on. It's interesting that v'om d'shnei anashim b'din is a reference to both balei dinim and eidim in the same pasuk. So I think it's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and the fact that just the word it says
Asher Lehem a Riv, yeah, or they're part of the Riv, because again, it's a Riv lo lo, and they might want to stay out of it, but they can't, you know, Biartar Mikibecha or their obligation to their fellow, etc. Okay, so that's one. The other ones, of course, are Behu Edo Ra Yada, and that, of course, is the two parshu, the two Gemaras, Bava Kama and Sanhedrin. So let me talk about Sanhedrin just for a minute. And then we'll have to stop for today. We'll try to finish with this on Tuesday. Tuesday, I want to get to the exactly how the Rishonim formulate Essen and Lavin and language, but also to some of the nafgamina, possible nafgamina, things like the relationship between Korban Shvuas Eidus and Chiyuv Haggadah regarding Ru'i and Lahoid, you know, some of the Minchas Chinuch questions. I want to talk about Echad more extensively. What is the status of Echad, the Kesef Mishnah, and other things. But especially things like, you know, Nashim in Eidei, Misa Sabal, Kibla Karva Pasa. We'll be talking about all these things anyway for Karban Shavuos Eidus. But very briefly, let me explain what we're looking for. If we're talking about, you know, and we'll talk more, of course, about that relationship too, between Gmilas Chasadim and Lo Samro Dam Re'acha and this being an Eidus Halacha, what are the different models of that? But if we're talking about Lo Samro Dam Re'acha and Gmilas Chasadim alone, as we said, in addition to being more universal, it's also Klape the Didon. We know who they owe to. It becomes a little more problematic to explain the Isser side, but we understand what that is. And if that's the case, and it's not a Din of Eidus per se, it's really a Din of Impact. Right? And consequently, you know, whatever works and whatever doesn't work. In other words, if you have cases where Alpidin, it's not Chalos Eidos, let's say it's Nemanos, or it's Kibloli, or something of that sort, assuming that Nemanos and Kibloli are not Eidos, which we'll talk about, then if all you really care about is Osama Adam Riacha or Gemilas Chasadim, it shouldn't matter. Because in the end of the day, right, the structure has been created in which you can have impact, right, and that's what counts. You know what you can, what your abstaining and suppressing Eidos does to your neighbor, as opposed to coming forward and getting involved, and, you know, and being you know, a constructive part of the Din Torah. But if what we're talking about is something unique, right, singular, the Hu'eid, or V'om D'Shnei Anashim, you know, Im Lo Yagid, I mean, if it's a din in Eidos per se, right, then it has to be formal Eidos. So then, the fact that you're impactful, right, isn't enough. That might be fine for the other parts, but it's not going to help you for this. So that's one of the things we have to look into. We have to talk about the Rambam's Chiddush, you know, that of Mipia Toveya in this light, which comes from the world of Korban Shavuos Abikana. Is there any Havamina, another thing we have to talk about, or any Deya, that there will be a Chiyuv Tashlumim? And why? Again, from the impact of Gemilas Chasadim, Osama Adam Re'acha, Grama, and Eidos. So these are the issues, the substantive issues we have to get to. But first, I just want to get through the Makoros and the Nisuchim and the Rishonim of what this is. Yeah?
I was going to say, if we think it's more of a meta idea of bringing about the truth, like not so much a shame Eidos as much as an obligation to bring about the Emes, and even if you don't have a shame Eidos, but you
could be. I mean, it depends what that is, you're saying. Right. I just think it's more like, put it this way. We'll say it in the following way. If it's Hosam al Dam Re'acha or Gmilus Chasadim, then the Eidus component is totally irrelevant. And if it's about, you know, a truth or tzedek, it also may be connected formally, you know, with Mishpat and Din and Eidus. And then it would be reasonable, not Mukhrach, I agree. Again, you also have to assess, as I said before, you know, what is Eidus and what isn't. Like, you know, Kibolai is a tricky case, which we'll talk about. Nemanus, you know, of Ksherim and Psulim, you know, that, you know, works with, you know, Eid Echad or Eid Mipi Eid, is a tricky issue in Halacha, how to define that. It's a B'yuk Machlokas Rishonin. So we need to know that, too, which is what makes it a little complicated. But at least we can try to figure out what the, you know, given this, what the implications of that, you know, and so on will be. Okay. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, with this explanation.
I have a question of the past
dates. Yeah, good.
So you said,
which one?
So this is the essay. Lachin eid the matzman chayav and lahid the bezdin. Vuhu mitzvahs essay ba'am the minyan shenem rabbi hui eid. Vuhu chayav leos eid bofen jizkan medin al yidu so. V'perek shvu as eidus per shivam the shnei Hashem v'shalai emar yukunai Hashem. The eidim v'am rusham shetan l'chachem in lachayav lahid ba'amida. Af a pisha mitzvahs essay lahid ba'amida mishum dehaya essay v'haya essay.
Ah, terrific. Excellent. So all I'm adding is, I mean, we are finding in the Tashbits is exactly what I was suggesting for the Rambam. Okay? But very good. Excellent. Yeah.
That Tashbits is in the Tzimtzimit that we said before.
Nun Gimel.
Nun Gimel?
Mm-hmm. Nun Gimel. In the Zohar Akiya.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Oh, okay. I guess I'll stop. So, okay. So let's try to move quickly on Tuesday. This is what the order of what I want to do. I want to go through the implications of Sanhedrin, Alam Adayin or Beis. I look at the Rashi and Tosis there, and look at the Ramaz, Girsa, sort of the Asay, the Lab, what exactly that is all about. Look at the Rashi and Tosis about the two levels, right? You know, I mean, that's just an interesting point. If anybody got to look at that Mishnah Savram on Sefer Chassidim, he has an interesting discussion about it that I want to talk about quickly, because there's some very important perspectives to bring out. But I want to do Sanhedrin, Bava Kamma, you know, the sugya there, and together with the Ramban in Kudrastina de Garmi, and the Mukha Yosef, and the Shulchan de Giborim, and the question of the Keset Mishnah, what is the status of Eid Echad, vis-a-vis Shnayim Eidim, in the Maskana of that Gemara, the Keset Mishnah. Again, if you look at that Mishnah Savrami, he has a lot to say about that. Right, what's going on with Eid Echad there and in Pesachim, etc. Then to talk a little bit more about the Shiltos, and again the interface between if there are two dinim or two psukim buhu aid and either Gemilas Chasadim and language of the Ramban also and L'Sam Adam Re'acha like the Rambam, like what that exactly means, and we'll get back to what Shmuel suggested before, which I totally agree with. So talk about these various other makoros, and then after that, to talk about actual cases of nafkamina. Some of them will have come out already. You know, Eid Echad, Nemanus in Misa Sabal, the status of Shavua, the relationship to Karban Shavua in terms of Tadiya, etc. Okay, so that I want to try to get through a lot of this on Tuesday, and I'll give you my makomas for the next topic also. Probably need Thursday.